Solomon at the end of his life. At the end of his life, he wrote this. Solomon had a great life. He was honoring God, but then he really went off the rails. He went off the rails in a bad way. And this is obviously written towards the end of his life. So he had it all together, lost it in a bad way. And here is what he writes at the end. He says, that's the whole story. Here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And we've talked about what does it mean to fear God? And when the Bible talks about fear, it means to reverence him, to be awestruck by him. In other words, awestruck by how powerful he is, how good he is, that literally can drop you to your knees. I know myself, I am doing best in my life when I'm remembering that I should be in awe of God. Right? When I make God ordinary in my life, when I forget how powerful he is, and I tend to think I can do it better than he can. Anybody else do that? Right? We get this idea that I can run my life better than he does. Right? How does that work out for you, by the way? Okay. So we want to be people who recognize the fear of God is to hallow him. It's to be awestruck by him. And we've been covering certain points. We've talked about if you fear God, that you're going to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And you're also going to be one who obeys him, who obeys him. Now, see, because here's the issue we have in the church across the globe. I know in my travels across the globe, it's the same thing. Many people love God. We love him, but we don't fear him. We don't have a fear for him. And again, we do need to understand the great love of God. I start my day remembering how good he is and how much he loves us. John 3:16, right? The one scripture that people are most familiar with. God so what? Loved the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. I mean, that's a good scripture, right? He says, God, he loved us that much. I remember, if you may remember Jeremiah 31, where he says, God speaks through Jeremiah and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. It doesn't waver. His love for me doesn't waver even when I do the wrong thing, right? Because even those close to us, we disappoint one another, and this anger rises up. This attitude, this bitterness can rise up. That doesn't happen in God's love for you. It's everlasting. He continues to love us. Man, and again, John wrote this in his letter. He wrote, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for us. So again, he's saying, look, this it isn't love that you love God. The real issue about love is God loves you. He loves you. Man, we do need to celebrate that. We need to remember how good this is, how great this is. We celebrate God's love. We celebrate communion. We remember what he's done. We remember how good he is. But at the same time, we need to remember also, though, that he holds life and death in his hands, that he is all-powerful, right? The same Jesus who said, God so loved the world, right? He's also the Jesus who said, dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They can't do anything more to you after that, but I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Oh yeah, he's the one to fear, right? See, we forget that scripture. We forget that there's this other side of God. There's an awesomeness to God. He is all powerful. Let's say that, all powerful. All powerful. All powerful. We forget that. He holds literally life and death in his hand. We breathe today because he says it's okay. Right? That's reality. That's a reality. And we need to remember, listen, we're all going to appear before God for judgment. Everyone in the room, you're going to stand before God all by yourself. You're going to stand before God. He's going to judge what you've done. That's reality. You know, and that can send a little chill up your spine, right? As it should. Right? Again, it sends a chill up your spine if all you know is a God that you fear. If all you know is a God of rules and regulations, that causes fear, right? So we want to be people who recognize and see God for who he truly, truly is. You know, many look to God as like a grandfather who's who's quick to bless and ever slow to anger. Right? And listen, that's true. I believe he's the supreme grandfather. I mean, I'm a grandfather. I have nine grandchildren. I don't look that old, but I have nine grandchildren. And I am quick to bless my grandchildren. Love to bless my grandchildren, right? And slow to anger. But I'll tell you what, there is a limit. If they are going to blatantly disobey or blatantly do wrong, or they're going to disrespect, judgment happens. Judgment happens. That's reality. That's reality. See, and that's what our God is. Okay, God is not just, he's not just going to say, I bless you, I forgive you, it's all okay. I mean, sooner or later, he says, look, there's judgment. There's consequences for what we do in our lives. And man, so even though, yes, he is a supreme grandfather, but there's also judgment that happens. I mean, see, God refers to himself as a father, right? What a great, endearing term. He doesn't look for us to call him high and almighty. He says, Father, I'm your father. What a great, great term. See, but because God is a father, he longs his children to succeed, to have their best life, right? He wants that. He has to discipline us. We raised six kids, right? Because I was a father who loved them, when they were going to touch the hot stove, I slapped their hand. Why? Because I love them. You know, I made them taste their vegetables at least, right? Why? Because I love them. I love them, right? That's what we do. That's what we do as parents. I would correct their disrespectful behavior, right? And see, and because he's a father, and listen, even as my kids became adults, there were regulations. I had a responsibility and an authority to continue to show them the way. And that meant as adults, if they were going to live in the home and not follow the way of the house, it was out the door. It was out the door because now you're an adult. Right? That again, why? Is that unloving? No, I'd say it is loving. It is loving because there's discipline. There is consequences for behavior. Okay? A loving father has not just a responsibility, but he also has an authority to represent what is right. And a father has to speak that. I do it because I love, not because I don't love. Okay? And so we need to see God that way. God has to discipline. And there's scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 that speaks that. It says, hey, all discipline seems nasty for the moment, right? Nobody enjoys discipline when it's happening, but it yields something good in your life. Okay? Well, we need to recognize God, that scripture also says, if God didn't discipline you, he would show he doesn't love you. Discipline shows love. So there is this need for us to recognize this aspect of God, of fearing him as a father. Now, one of the problems we have as Christians, though, in our humanness, is we tend to fall in one of two camps, for lack of a better word. There's one camp that says, God loves us. God is love. Everything is peace, love, and little donuts, you know, and all is good. God just loves. He cares. He forgives. Doesn't matter. And there's the other side that says, God needs to be revered, right? God needs to be revered, and you better toe the line. And if you don't toe the line, right, man, you're going to pay a price. And it's a religious side. It's a legalist side, okay? And see, and both people, they think they're on the road going somewhere, but really they're both in a ditch because there's a ditch on both sides of the road, okay? And we got the people who think God's love, it's all about God's love. They think they're on the road, they're in a ditch. And there's people that think, well, you better rever God. You better rever God. And it's like they stand in a ditch on each side of the road telling the other person, hey, if you want to get on the road, you better do it my way. Not realizing they're both in a ditch. Neither one's in the road. See, we need to recognize that to honor God, to get on that road and flow, we have to know a God of love, but also recognize he is a God to be revered and honored. You need to have both of those flowing through your life if we're going to truly walk and have the life that God's designed for you to have. He's all loving, absolutely, but he's all powerful, absolutely. And because he loves, he has to judge. If there's no discipline, there's no love. Amen. Some of you parents of young kids should be taking notes right now, okay? right? Again, because there's discipline. Discipline shows that we care and that we love. It's like, see, it's like I'm motivated by love, by the love of God, but I'm marked by the fear of God. Yes. Motivated by love, but marked by fear. I rever him. That is a healthy place to be. Let's just pray right now. Father God, we come before you. God, I ask, Lord Jesus, as we close out this series, Father God, we would grab and have a deeper grasp, Lord, of what it means to walk in your love and yet walk in reverence. How we need both of those in our lives. Thank you for your patience with us as we pursue you. Open up our hearts to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Just going forward here, just a little bit of a review. Holy fear. That's what we need. We need a holy fear of God. And these are a couple of scriptures that we've gone over in the last couple of weeks. You could get these, hear those messages online at our website. But again, catch this. Isaiah 11. And his delight, the follower of God, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. See, if you have proper understanding of the fear of God, it's actually a delight. It's a delight. It's not something to wish doesn't happen. You're saying, no, it's a delight. And also, it's a treasure. The fear of God will be your treasure. The fear of God is valuable. It's valuable to you to fear God. Yes, we live in his love. Yes, I'm motivated by love. But man, there's this thing of reverencing him. There's a necessity for this if we want to walk in the fullness of God and all that he has for us. Man, so God, help us. Help us catch it and figure it out. You know, we also talked about trembling at his word. Isaiah 66 says this. Okay, Isaiah, let's just take a look at this. It says, this is the writer. He says, God says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts and tremble at my word. I will bless those. Some of your translations may say, I look to those. I look to those. I bless those. And what does bless mean? To look, to watch, to regard, to pay close attention. Okay, so God says, I'm gonna look to this type of person. I'm gonna bless this type of person. What type of person is that? All right? One who is humble and contrite. Humble and contrite. Humble, we know the word humble. Contrite's a different word for us on its meaning. One definition that I've found through the years, contrite means crushed like powder. Crushed like powder. You know, now you have gummy vitamins that used to be hard, okay, and they have like little shapes of little people. And it would be like taking that vitamin and crushing it to powder. It no longer has an identity of its own. That's what contrite is. See, when I'm contrite, I have lost my identity. I've allowed Jesus Christ to crush this old man, right, who needed to die, right? I mean, again, some of us run through the illusion of thinking I need to find myself. No, you need to lose yourself. Okay, you're the problem. You're the problem with your life. Okay, but we need to be crushed. I need to be made like powder. I lose my identity. So I'm humble. I've lost my identity. My identity is only in him. And God says, that's the person I look to. That's the one I want to bless, the one who has lost their identity. Is that a good word, right? Man, so catch that. He goes on to say, those who tremble at my word, tremble, to fear. And I want you to catch the one definition here, startled by sudden alarm. Startled by sudden alarm. Some of us, maybe when you were first pursuing Jesus and as a follower, like really trying to follow him, and maybe you read something in the Bible that you were doing something wrong and you didn't know it, and it's like, oh, you had an adjective, and you said, I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that was wrong. But that's what this is, like tremble. Like, wow, I need to get it right. I need to get it right. And so God's saying, I bless this person. I bless the one who is humble and contrite, right? I mean, catch the reality of that. Let's go look at Philippians. This is Paul writing, again, to brand new Christians in the city of Philippi. And this is what he says to them. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. Now, he says, like, you've always obeyed, but still, there's a working out of salvation. There's a working out of walking in this fear of God, of honoring God with your behavior. Okay, we don't, again, you're not trying to earn God's, or you're not trying to earn heaven. He's already forgiven you. But he said, look, if you want to walk in the fullness of God, you've got to work this out. And work in the Greek means, not a trick question, okay? Work in the Greek means work. Work, there's an effort that we have to put forward. I'm saying, I am going to do the right thing. Okay, so again, I'm gonna work out my salvation. I've been pursuing God for decades now, and it's still the same. Man, I want to work this out. Now, of course, the question though is, how do I know if I tremble at His word? How do I know if I am? Well, listen. Those who fear God will obey His word. How will they obey it? That next slide, please. How will they obey it? Immediately, you obey His word completely, and the last one's a good one. Joyfully, immediately, completely, and joyfully. Let's look, just talk for a minute about obeying immediately, immediate obedience. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. And this is a text that if you've been following Jesus, you're familiar with this. Okay, and it's Jesus is going down the road, and the writer, Luke, refers to a couple encounters he had with people. And he says to another person, Jesus says, come follow me, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. What did Jesus tell him? Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And let's read that second one. Next slide. Another said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. See, we see in both of these places that people wanted to put conditions on their obedience. Okay, the first one, it appears that he wanted to return home because there was an inheritance he could receive. And Jesus was saying, but I want you now. I want you now. See, and at times God asks us to do some wild things, okay? As Christians, God asks us to do things that before I was a Christian, I thought were actually not rational, okay? Not rational, right? But he said, but as I've come to know Him, I recognize, look, not everything He says to me is something that's pleasant. Everything He tells me to do is not pleasant. I don't necessarily want to agree with it, but He's the all-powerful one. He's the one I'm going to listen to, right? Okay, so when He says it, I need to listen. And the first guy, it seemed like a pretty common sense thing. Let me go home first. He's no, obey now, not a first. The second guy said, first let me say goodbye to my family. That sounds reasonable, right? Sounds reasonable. Jesus says, look, I've called you now. And again, it seems He's saying, like, when I call you, you got to hold on and you can't let go. You got to stay focused and go forward. Okay? And the point is, it's immediate obedience. We need to be people who respond when God speaks. And again, this is a challenge for us, even those that have been serving God for a long time. At times, like I said, my common sense gets in the way, right? Right? And it doesn't it in our obedience as we pursue God? Common sense wants to get in the way at times. And so we need to remember this. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is pretty well accepted that David wrote this. Okay, 119, verse 60. Okay, and I got to get to the right page here. And this is what the writer writes. He says, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Don't you like that? God makes a command. The writer says, I'm in a hurry. With eager excitement. God said to do this, I'm going to do this. One of the things that came up a few weeks ago, we had a guest minister in from Hawaii, and he talked about, like, when we give financially, God says to give, that we should do with excitement. Amen? There's excitement. Like, we should hurry. We should hurry to do this. Right? You may not like it, but I'm going to hurry to do it because God said to do it, and God is good. Okay? So, again, that's what it's saying here. The writer's saying, look, I'll hurry to obey His commands. If He said to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to hold back. Let's look at verse 63 and 64 of the same chapter. He says, I'm a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. Oh Lord, your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees. And you can see here, the same person who's saying, I run to obey. He's saying, look, I'm friends with anybody who fears God. Anyone who fears God, they're my friend. They're my friend. And God, your love fills the earth. Do you see how, again, the fear is not about cowering under. The fear is awestruck. God is so good and so powerful. So powerful. God, teach me your decrees. Tell me more about how I should behave. Tell me more of how I should act. That's what the writer's saying. Okay, and we want to be people who are hurry to it and who are motivated to go forward. Man, see, listen, a slow response to obedience to God shows a lack of holy fear for God. If I really believe this, I will quickly respond. I'll quickly want to follow. You know, again, there's things that go against my natural mind. You know, it didn't make sense when Jesus spit and made mud and rubbed it in somebody's eyes. Okay, right? That was pretty wild. If somebody does that here, you know, we may wrestle you to the ground, okay? The healing better happen quick. How about pouring water into containers and water turns into wine? That's a pretty wild response. Couldn't you have just given them money and they could go buy wine, right? How about walking around the walls of Jericho silently for 7 days, right? This doesn't make sense. Or again, how about one just for all of us? The idea that we look scripturally, that God says really giving starts, financial giving starts at 10%. Starts at 10%, right? That's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. What's he saying? But this is what he speaks. How about forgiving someone when they hurt you, right? Forgiving, not taking up bitterness. Loving those who persecute you at work. Yes. Honoring those who dishonor you. Yes. These are the commands that we have that we get to run to. We get to run to and embrace. God, tell me your decrees, because I will do every single one. Every single one. See, so we want to respond. I follow the decrees because I know God is all powerful and I know God is good. I know he's powerful. I know he's good. Therefore, I'm going to pursue. Okay, so a person who fears God obeys immediately. Those who fear God also obey completely, completely. You know, in our Western culture, one of the issues that we have is we really don't want to do things unless we see the benefit. What's in it for me, right? You know, what's in it for me? That's how we look at things. I mean, it's human nature. It's human nature. And again, God, we're designed this way. We have to control it. It's even like in a church like ours, if we have a meeting where we're going to have prophetic ministry, and that's where people pray for you and look to hear God on something going on in your life, people love meetings like that. Again, people come to the, you know, people who do prophetic ministry in our type of church, they get the biggest offerings. They really do. Now, not that many people are excited about coming and listening to a message about obedience. Okay, that doesn't excite us. Obedience doesn't excite us. That, you know, sacrifice doesn't excite us. But boy, if there's something I could be in it for me, that I could receive something, it does something to us. Did you ever notice that on the bestseller book list, there's never any books with the obedience in the title? You know, that doesn't happen. Those things don't happen. Okay, let's just look at a scripture here out of Acts. This is Paul speaking. We're talking about serving God completely, obeying God completely. He says, now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He's headed back to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. And those words were true. That was going to happen. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul was not in this for the benefits package. He said, there's a work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, and I am going to fulfill it, even if it means I'm thrown in prison. And he was thrown in prison, and he never got out, and was killed in Rome by the Romans, martyred for his faith. Right, so that did happen, but he was committed. I am going to completely honor God with my life. And listen, I think this is one, not just, this is, I want to talk specifically to people like myself, you know, a little grayer than the rest of you, or some of you, I don't want to say people with no hair, because some of you young guys don't have any hair, but Okay, stop. I got to stop looking around the room. Okay. All right. But listen, I want you to catch something. Just because you're a few decades into life doesn't mean you stop running the race. You still have work to complete. You know, my wife and I, we're committed. We have work to complete in our lives, and we're committed to doing that. We're not in this for the benefits package, right? Our benefit package is in heaven. That's where it is, okay? I do not have a bucket list. I don't have a bucket. I said I have a golden bucket list. I want to smuggle Bibles into China. That's something I want to do, right? That's like I want my bucket list to be things that build the kingdom of God. And listen, and I say, look, and if you have a bucket list, look, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you the way I try to look at life. You know, again, I believe this too, because there's things that I like geography. I like to encounter, you know, whether it be the Grand Canyon or Victoria Falls. I want to see those things. But I'm convinced of this. Heaven is going to be so glorious to the eye that nothing on this earth compares. Therefore, I don't need a bucket list. I don't need it. Heaven is going to be so mind-blowing. I mean, remember, in heaven, they're going to pave the streets with gold, okay? You're going to spit on the street. It's going to be in gold. You're not going to care. Catch it. So again, because I believe it sets us free. Because we think we're missing something in this life. You're not. You're not missing anything. That's no extra charge. Wasn't in the message. But okay. Luke chapter 17. We're going to be drawn to a close here in a few minutes. Luke 17. Jesus speaking. He's speaking to giving instruction to servants. And he says this. He says, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded by God, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. See, and catch it. It says, when you have done all that you were commanded. Okay, in other words, we don't get, just because we're obedient, we think we get some special reward. We're just being obedient, right? I mean, when my 10-year-old children would put their clothes in the proper place, okay, they didn't get a special reward. That was expected. Okay. We didn't celebrate high school graduation a whole lot. You know why? We expected them to graduate, right? That was just kind of expected. Okay. It's, again, so there are things that we're just expected to do as followers of God. Make sense? He said, just so do it. Do it. Don't sell it short. Okay. So those who fear God are going to follow him completely. Lastly, we're going to obey God joyfully. Joy. There should be a joy in serving God. And as I walk after him in fear, there should be an absolute joy. Look at this psalm. I want to say unanimous. That's not the right word. Anonymous. We don't know. I'm not sure who wrote it. But catch this. Catch what it's written here. How joyful are those who fear the Lord. That's where we start. Okay. So this is talking about people who fear God. All who follow his ways, you'll enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper. That's your city, your country. As long as you live, may you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. All of those, just flip back to the other one that has the fear of the Lord. Just flip back one. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, who understand that it's not just a God of love, but it's a God who we should revere. Blessing follows those who have that understanding. Isn't that good news? Man, so again, Psalm 128 is when we should have that on our refrigerator. Right? Man, just a catch. Listen, this is the blessing on those who obey God even when it hurts. Even as we were singing today, when you feel like you're surrounded, look, no, I'm going to continue to serve God. When I'm outnumbered, I'm going to continue. Man, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to do the right thing. Why? Because look at the blessings that happen as we fear the Lord, Okay, Aaron, if you could come on up. In conclusion here. You know, just as I'm headed to Africa tomorrow. I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks, right? I'm headed out. And I'm going to be getting on a jet plane. And I'm believing that plane has two wings. they're going to get it off the ground, okay? A plane needs two wings to fly, right? It's not. It can't get off the ground. It has to have two wings, right? Well, listen, when it comes to our walk with God, if you want to fly, if you want to soar in life, if you want to do and attain all that God has for you, you've got to have both of these wings. You've got to understand the love of God, and you've got to understand the fear of God. It takes both wings to fly. Many Christians sputter. Okay, we kind of bounce along the road. God wants us to soar like eagles. Right? He wants us to soar. How do you do that? I'm motivated by His love, but I am marked by fear. I'm marked by the fear of God. I reverence Him. I reverence Jesus Christ. And if we just have that last slide up there, Joel, please. Okay. I have the fear of God because He has proven His love for me. How has Jesus proven His love for you? Not a trick question. 2,000 years ago, what did He do? He died. What else does He have to do to prove to you He's on your side? Right? He has also proven His goodness to me. Anybody that would do that has to have my good in heart, right? Anything, if anybody, He died for me. He sent His Son to die for me. Obviously, anything He asked me to do is for my benefit. It's for my benefit. He has proven His power to me. He is all powerful. Not only did He hang the sun in the sky, right? Not only did He create the solar system, okay? But He has the power over life and death. So He's proven His love for me. He's proven His goodness to me, proven His power. Therefore, I lovingly and willingly follow His commands. I am awestruck by God. I am in awe of God. And that's what He's looking for. People who are awestruck by Him. Not because He could take you out, but because He is so strong and so good. He is so good. That's the God that we serve. That's the one He wants you to be able to rest in and know. That's the reality we have. Does that speak life to your soul? Let that speak life. See, because again, we're done with this series. I encourage you to take a picture of this slide, because this is a culmination. This is what we do, why we do what we do. Okay, this is what it is. Okay, again, He's proven His love to me. He's proven His goodness. He's proven His power. Therefore, with love, I obey. With love, I obey. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, we come before You, and God, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, that You make it all so clear to us. You make it so clear. And God, we want to be people, Lord, who don't just say, don't just focus only on Your love, but we remember to focus on the power of God, the reverence, that we would be people awestruck by the goodness of God. Awestruck by the goodness of God. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And again, every time we get together, we always want to make mention that we recognize that Jesus Christ, He said, I'm the only way to life. I'm the only hope that you have. Christianity is not an alternative lifestyle. Scripture makes very clear. Jesus said there's only one way, and that's through recognizing you're never good enough on your own. But Jesus Christ is the one who paid a price that we can be in right relationship with God. And we do that by declaring, asking Him to forgive us, but declaring Him as the Lord, as a God to be feared. And we declare that, God, I'm going to follow You. I am going to be one who is a follower. I'm not just going to say I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be one who doesn't just hear the word, I do the word. And if you're here today and you don't have a day and time where you made a commitment and you said, this is the day I'm asking Jesus to forgive me, and I am declaring him the leader of my life. I'm declaring Him the boss. I'm declaring Him the CEO. I'm overthrowing the government in my life, and I'm putting Him in control. If you've never done that, we want to give you that opportunity today. Today is your day. And again, if that's you, again, I'm going to ask you to do something bold, and that is raise your hand. Jesus did something bold for you in laying down His life. And if you want to make that decision today, Pastor, I'm going to challenge you to raise your hand. Say, amen. 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 We see those hands. And Father God, again, just wait another moment. Just wait one more moment. Amen. God, because again, this is important. This is the beginning of life. So, Father God, we come before you right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for those that have raised their hand. And even now, God, we ask that you just speak life to them. God, and before there's going to be people coming to speak to you as we close the service. Again, God, that this would be their day. That they know a God who loves, but a God who is all-powerful. All-powerful. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand because he is good.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for a great message. Hey.